Measure Up Podcast, Episode 29, Performance Measurement's Most Important Outcome. G'day and welcome. I'm Stacey Barr, the Performance Measure Specialist of StaceyBarr.com and your host for this Measure Up podcast. My passion is making it easy and fun for you to meaningfully measure the performance of your organization or business so it can be truly excellent at what it exists to do. In this episode of the Measure Up podcast about performance measurement's most important outcome, our practical tip is performance measurement from awful to awesome. We'll also help Measure Up subscriber Jo answer her question about how to focus planning on outcomes, not just activities. And we'll wrap up with a few links about how to help more people appreciate what performance measurement is truly about. Now, I don't think I have ever had a year so bad or so good. It's a bittersweet reflection as 2011 comes to an end. The bitter included January's flooding rains in southeast Queensland, caused a huge landslide 2 metres from the back of our house. My sister was diagnosed with leukemia, and my gorgeous little red doggie, Chili, died. But the sweet was that my company had its most profitable year ever. I can run faster and further than I ever have in my life. And I've maintained a 4-day working week by focusing very strongly on priorities. I think my biggest lesson this year has been that when you are faced with big challenges, either those of your own choosing or those that are thrust upon you, you're forced to look at who you honestly are and what truly matters to you. You get the opportunity to see your choices more clearly and to own them. Seeing your choices clearly and owning those choices is so essential if you want to pursue excellence in anything, and that has been the inspiration for this issue's topic. We make all kinds of choices in how we go about measuring performance and getting other people to measure performance too. Sometimes we're not aware that we have a choice in how we go about doing this, and often we're not aware of whether we've made the best choice. But if you want to pursue organizational excellence, you need to be so very aware of those choices and so very deliberate in which ones you take. And I have a model to make that easier for you. And that, my friend, is what the final practical tip for 2011 is all about, the Performance Measurement Excellence Model. First, though, a quick reminder for how you can meet up with me this year, in person or online, and learn the blueprint to create meaningful performance measures. You can meet me in person at a live 2-day performance measure blueprint workshop. Our first workshops will be down under here in Australia, in Brisbane, Melbourne, Canberra, and Sydney. And then later on in the year, you can meet me in London or Boston or San Francisco. I have a tip for you though, when you attend training workshops, whether it's mine or anybody else's, take one or more of your colleagues with you. And that way you will dramatically boost the likelihood you'll do something with what you learn. I've found this time and time again over the dozens of training courses that I've run. Those people who come with colleagues are the people that have a much higher implementation rate of what they learn and therefore greater success and return on investment for the training. So together, when you get back to work, collaborate on a pilot implementation of what you all learned. For the live blueprint workshops, just go to performancemeasureblueprint.com. You can read all the details and register there. If you want to meet me online, because traveling to one of those locations is just not going to work for you, you can join one of the 2012 Performance Measure Blueprint online programs. And the first one in the first half of the year is at a time zone that suits those of you in the US, UK, and Europe. I have a tip also for you when you attend online training programs. Again, a tip that I've learned from the people that have come to my online training programs. Schedule time in your diary after each webinar lesson. And in that time, review what you've learned during the lesson and put it into practice. This way you can parallel your learning with your implementation. And that first implementation, you can treat it as a pilot. You will learn far more thoroughly. And the way I've designed both the in-person workshop and the online program is to give you very clear instructions, activities and templates, examples to follow to maximize the ease with which you can implement what you learn. If you're interested in an online blueprint program, then go to performancemeasureblueprintonline.com. Now for our practical tip for this episode, performance measurement from awful too awesome. You get the written copy of the podcast's feature article in this episode's corresponding issue of the Measure Up email newsletter. The newsletter gives you additional resources to meaningfully measure what matters, and you can subscribe for free at measureupblog.com. Performance measurement is like anything else. You can do it anywhere on the scale between awful and awesome. How to figure out where on the scale you are? We have to start by defining what awful and awesome is, and that means defining the outcome of performance measurement. It's not performance measures, nor dashboards, nor informed decisions. Those are just outputs. The outcome of performance measurement is that the right things are being improved across the whole organization or business and regularly. How would you measure that outcome? The simplest measure I can think of is the percentage of people in the organization who are regularly making measurable improvements in the performance results that are strategically important or mission critical. And this measure is called the Performance Excellence Score. How do you improve that outcome? Well, you need to improve your approach to performance measurement to better engage people in measuring what matters, to give them better skills and tools to do it well, and to make it a more natural part of doing their job. And to help you plan and monitor your progress, you can use your Performance Excellence Score and benchmark which stage you're at on the Performance Measurement Excellence journey. Stage one is appreciation. If your organization or business is moving through the appreciation stage, it's likely that there are few, if any, good performance measures. People don't understand what to measure or why they should do it. Measurable performance improvements are uncommon. And here your priority is to give people reasons to appreciate the value of measuring performance. Stage two is engagement. Here, more and more people are able to describe the mission critical and strategically important results for the organization or business and how they contribute to them. A few areas are attempting to measure and improve those results. Your priority is to give people quick and easy ways to measure just a few useful things to nurture their engagement in measuring. Stage three is commitment. You'll have some ad hoc areas measuring mission critical and strategically important performance results, and some of the quick win performance improvements are generating interest among other areas. Deepen and broaden the commitment by teaching more people how to have similar successes with their performance improvement. Stage four is focus. The purpose of performance measurement as a driver of continuous improvement is understood more widely, and there are quite a few areas starting to use meaningful performance measures to improve performance. Share case studies of measurement successes to inspire and guide people, and to put a lot of emphasis on aligning their measures with the strategic direction. These first four stages parallel the development of a performance culture that's nurtured through quick wins to raise awareness of what good performance measurement is really all about and basic guidance in how to develop good measures. A reasonably strong performance culture is an essential foundation to lay before you worry too much about the technical side of measuring. Stage five is alignment. A cross-section of people throughout the organization are setting up performance measures that align to strategy, and they are using them to improve performance toward targets. It's now time to develop a corporate-wide approach to performance measurement, test it, and get it ready to roll out. Stage 6 is capability. Most of the organization is using performance measures that align to strategy, with many areas showing real performance improvements and achieving targets. Here, your priority is to systematically train people in how to use your corporate performance measurement framework. Stage 7 is integration. The alignment of performance measures to strategy and to business processes is strong. Improvements in process performance routinely leads to improvement in mission-critical or strategically important areas. Start embedding your performance measurement framework into business planning, strategy execution, and performance reporting. Now, these three stages happen when frameworks for an organization-wide performance measurement approach are designed, tested, and standardized. When you have a unified approach, it's easier to deploy and to improve. Stage 8 is evolution. Performance measurement is a natural part of everyone's job, and they are consistently reaching or exceeding targets in mission-critical or strategically important areas. Set up the systems and routines to continually monitor how your performance measurement framework is working, treating it like you should any other formal business process. And stage 9 is acceleration. At this stage, performance measurement is as natural a part of doing business as financial management. Performance measurement is managed as a formal business process that is itself routinely measured and improved to better achieve performance targets. The idea here is that you focus improvements in your performance measurement process on the outcomes of achieving stretch targets faster and with fewer resources. This is performance excellence. These last two stages happen when there are well-designed and implemented systems for formally managing and continually improving your performance measurement process as a natural part of doing business. Now, can you see how these stages logically build on each other, and that you need to be very careful about when and how you plan your journey to performance excellence? If you want to take action on these ideas, here is my suggestion. Learn how to find out your current stage of performance measurement excellence and how to improve it. Then ask yourself this question: what are the best 3 things I can do in 2012 to move closer to performance excellence? Now, you can learn more about the performance excellence model and how to find out what stage you're at stacybarr.com/pump/excellence. That's stacybarr.com/pump/excellence. Now, if you're at any one of the first 4 stages of performance excellence, appreciation, engagement, commitment, or focus, then one of the best things you could do in 2012 is to redesign your planning process to get more people focused on the strategically important and mission-critical results and outcomes. And that's the case for MeasureUp subscriber Joe. Joe asks, how do you change the organization's planning focus from activities to properly defined and measured outcomes? When people focus almost entirely on activities, it's symptomatic of the appreciation stage of the performance measurement excellence model. They have the notion that if they just work hard enough and get everything done, then performance will improve. But they haven't really defined what performance means. There are several steps you can take to help people appreciate the importance of properly defined and measured outcomes. The first step is to make it clear that outcomes are different to activities. For the projects or initiatives or actions listed in the plan, ask a question like, if this is successful, what will be better and how? Perhaps one of the projects is to educate customers on your product features. Fine. But how do you know if your education has worked and not been a big waste of time and money? So ask the question, if our education works, what will be better and how? And the answer might be that customers will end up purchasing exactly what they need, and we won't get so many returns or requests for refunds. The second step is to reinforce that there are risks of focusing just on activities. Risks like using more money or time than might actually be needed. Investing in the wrong activity just because it sounded like a good idea. Other stakeholders judging, subjectively and with bias, the impact of the activities and having to manage their perceptions. Step three is to make the space for outcomes in your planning template. I like to lay out the order of things in strategic and business plans this way. The theme or critical success factor, followed by the specific performance results or outcomes we want, followed by measures of those outcomes, followed by targets for those measures, and finally, the initiatives or projects that we believe will achieve the targets and thusly achieve the outcomes. It makes you think about what you want first, and then you can be more deliberate and discerning in your choice of activities. Now, you may also need a step four, which is to redesign your planning process to discuss and define the outcomes before anyone is even allowed to talk about activities. Well, if you have a question you'd like me to answer for you on this podcast, email me at measureup@stacybarr.com. Now, a few extra little resources for you to help get people really understanding what performance measurement's about, particularly when you're at those lower stages of the performance measurement excellence model. The first is an article called How to Get Started with Performance Measurement Using a Punchy Pilot Approach. Now, if you do have people who are feeling uncertain or cynical about performance measurement in your organization, you don't want to rush into developing a corporate-wide approach. It's too much too soon. Instead, give them a fast, focused, and meaningful experience in measuring something that matters, and that's what that article tells you about. Another article here I have for you is Do Your Colleagues Have the Wrong Idea About KPIs and Measurement? And this article explores people's understandings about what KPIs are and their beliefs about why we do it, how they can be at the root of the objections that people have to measuring performance. And thirdly, an article called The 8 Steps to Build Buy-in to KPIs is obviously about getting buy-in to KPIs. You aren't really implementing performance measurement, and you're definitely not getting the gains of it if your staff, your colleagues, and your managers aren't really engaged. If they're just treating it as bureaucratic hoops to jump through, that's not good enough. They really need to feel the value of KPIs. Well, that's our final episode for 2011. And as we ramp up again in 2012, I'd love to hear from you what your favorite podcasts are so I can get some good ideas for continually improving this one for you. Email me at measureup@stacybarr.com and just let me know one or two of your favorite podcasts. Remember, you can download these Measure Up podcast episodes and also read the feature articles at measureupblog.com. And you can also subscribe at iTunes, just search for Measure Up. I hope you have a safe, fun, and nurturing holiday season with the people who love you. Until 2012, this is Stacey Barr, the Performance Measure Specialist, signing off. Keep measuring what matters and engaging everyone you can to do the same.